Swagger on 100. What's up, what's up, what's up?
It's working!
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
It has been...
so long.
I'm trying to think.
A couple months.
Well, it was the geography... or not geography, the civics.
Yeah, the
episode
civics.
Episode was our last episode.
September.
It's
been since September.
Okay. So this is interesting then. Our last podcast was back in September, which is when football season starts.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode is going to largely be due
because
on
ended.
The topic of college football. I guess this is kind of a good place to put a disclaimer here. If you don't care about sports at all, or if you do but football is not your sport of choice, you could probably skip this episode. And we may end up talking about other stuff too. But Kyle, you might have an easy episode this time because I have a lot to say.
It's all good.
I do have a lot to say.
We'll just record all night.
There you go.
Till we're ready to end it.
We'll record until
we haven't been on in so long, so there's so much to talk about.
I know. Correct. So,
and I will say, before you begin, mm-hmm. you were talking about people who are not super into football.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. I know enough about football.
Yeah.
And I pay attention enough, but I'm right there with you. So for all these people, yeah, you don't have to leave. You can stay. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, but mainly...
I mean, so yeah, football is going to be the sport of this particular
yes.
topic, but the overall theme for this podcast is going to be what merit should be judged for,
yeah.
like, I guess,
the
really...
The politics of it, like...
The politics of it all, the... What's the point of competition? What's the point of... You know,
what's the point of trying, basically?
Basically, yeah.
Why should I try,
basically,
to be the best when I am the best and don't get picked still?
Yeah, correct. So Kyle obviously is aware, and he and I, full disclosure, he and I have talked about this briefly the other day. And this is going to be interesting, too, because you bring, even though you're not, you don't get psychotic about college football the way that I do. But you are a fan of one of, I mean, we're rival teams. You're a fan of the Florida Gators.
I'll say I'm a flan,
Flan.
I'm a Flander. No, I'm a fan of both the Gators and FSU. Like, if I had to pick, like, when they're playing against each other,
and
of
you
course
grew up,
I'll go Florida Gators.
You grew
Gators.
Up a Gator.
Yeah.
Would you, and
I grew
up
in
a
Florida Gator house, loving the Gators.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are when they make it to big games and we're not playing, it's on TV and stuff like that.
It's like okay, a Florida team, a Florida team, bring it home.
Yeah, I'll keep up with it.
Because the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight really has more to do with right and wrong, morality and immorality. So for those uninitiated, if you've chosen to stick around, even with the disclaimer that we were going to be talking about sports, essentially what has happened is the college football regular season is over. And the college football playoff selection committee, two Sundays ago, so not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. Mm-hmm. So it's been over a week now. They put out their playoff, the 4-team play, because currently it's still a 4-team playoff. It goes to 12 teams next year. They put out their 4 teams that are going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So the drama here isn't so much, it's multifaceted. It's not so much that Florida State was left out. It's that the entire season, excluding week one, because we went into our first game this season against LSU ranked 8th.
Yeah.
And LSU was ranked 5th in the preseason polls. And I'll circle back why that's important. I'll circle back around to that in a bit, but So essentially what happened is we beat LSU in week one, and we did it pretty decisively. We won 45-24. We were the underdog. We were not the betting favorite. We went in and we handled business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one other. This is crazy. There was only one week. So after we beat LSU, we went to number four. We were ranked fourth. I hear. Oh, is that her? Okay.
Yeah.
So after we beat LSU week one, we were ranked fourth in the country. The only week where we fell from 4-5 was the third to last week when we played Northern Alabama and Jordan Travis, our starting quarterback, had that horrific injury. Yes. After that game, they dropped us from 4th to 5th. Then the next week, we played Florida.
Yep.
It was rivalry weekend. We played Florida. We won at the Swamp.
And it was a decent game.
It was a decent game. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was a pretty win either.
And that was with y'all's second string,
who towards the end of the game suffered a concussion.
Yep.
Which sat him out
for the
conference championship game against Louisville.
Yeah.
So this is crazy because after we beat Florida at the end of November, they bumped us back to the fourth spot. So there's only 2 weeks this entire season that we weren't ranked fourth. It was week one when we were ranked eighth. Then we beat LSU and got ranked fourth. And then it was the game where we lost Jordan Travis. They bumped us to 5. And then they put us back at 4 the week later after beating Florida. So why is that important? Well, that's important because we essentially spent this entire season in the top four. And when it came to Selection Sunday, where they decided the four teams that were going to go play in the playoff, we keep in mind, this is a team that largely spent the entire season ranked in the top four. We got bumped to 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that we got bumped to 5th. That wasn't the problem. The problem is we got bumped to 5th and two teams with tarnished records, one-loss records, got placed above us.
Yep. Above a 13-0.
Above a 13-0 Power 5 conference champion. And for everyone who tries to draw, you know, similarities to past teams that, well, so-and-so team went undefeated and they were let. So we're talking about the college football playoff era. There was the BCS era before this, and there wasn't really anything. There was like a computer algorithm that basically, and that was kind of how the BCS did it. There was a computer that compiled all these stats and at the end of the season said, okay, these two teams get to play for the championship.
Yeah.
And that was that. But we're in the playoff era now. And so we're talking specifically the playoff era. This has not happened to a Power 5 team. And so the arguments that have been floating around is that, well, it's the four best teams. The four best teams was what the committee was tasked with selecting. Then it's not a playoff. It's an invitational.
Yeah.
Now, it could be both. It could be an invitational and a playoff if the four best teams were all undefeated.
All four playing, yeah.
And all undefeated.
Yeah.
But we're at a point here where when is it supposed to matter what was accomplished during the regular season? When is that supposed to matter?
Yeah, 13-0 and then you're in fourth place.
Because
and yet two teams that were
yeah, because I'm not taking anything away from Alabama. They lost to Texas in week two by 10 points at home. So it was a great win for Texas. It was a not great loss for Alabama. But then they came back, went undefeated the rest of the way. And everyone's making the argument, well, they're undefeated in conference play. Okay. Fine. And they beat Georgia, who was on a 29-game win streak they were, I think up until that conference championship game, I think they were still the betting favorite.
Oh yeah.
To three-peat.
Yeah, everybody had Georgia winning
and,
that game.
And if we're talking about the four best teams in college football, even with the loss to Alabama, they only lost by three. I would still argue that Georgia belongs in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're talking about. Everyone wants to equate like, well, the committee was supposed to choose the four best teams. Well, best is subjective. You can either choose the what teams you think are the four best, or you can use a much more objective metric and say, well, okay, hold on. This season, of the Power Five conferences, which there are five, only three conferences produced an undefeated champion. Yeah. To me, that's a no-brainer. The top three spots should go to those three teams. Then you can debate, well, was the loss to Texas better or worse for Alabama? Well,
Alabama how lost bad to Texas. Did they get beat?
Because you can make the argument, well, okay, so Texas won the head-to-head against Alabama, put Texas in at number four. Or, I mean, there was no way to end the season and select four teams without there being some sort of, like, contention, mm-hmm. some drama. But let the drama be over the 2-1 lost teams.
Yeah.
Which metric do you want to...
Like, which game was better as far
exactly.
as your rushing yards,
which
your passing
metric
yards.
Do you want to weigh more heavily, the head-to-head metric
mm-hmm.
or the strength of schedule metric? Because you could say, well, the Alabama win over Georgia was more impressive. We're going to say that weighs more heavily in our decision than their head-to-head loss in week two against Texas. Sorry, Texas. I know this is going to be controversial, but we're putting Alabama at four. Or you could do the safer route and say, okay, Alabama played a tougher schedule, but Texas still has the head-to-head win over Alabama. Sorry, Alabama, we're putting Texas at four.
Yeah, because you
that would be less controversial.
You can win the game just by points.
Yeah,
but still, in the end, have more yards, more.
Oh, you can outgain.
Yeah,
you can outgain your opponent and still lose.
Yeah, still lose a game. There's been many times that Florida has done that where we've got passing yards, rushing yards, our defense is just doing incredible. We still lose.
And then you look at stuff like penalties.
Yeah.
You look at stuff like turnovers.
You got so many penalties.
Yeah.
So many fumbles.
Well, and I'm not, you know, when we get into the meat and potatoes of this, I'm not suggesting, I guess I needed to preface this, I'm not suggesting that Florida State would have won the national championship.
No. But
what
they at
I'm
least
arguing,
deserved a chance.
What I'm arguing is that they have earned.
Yeah.
They have earned the chance.
You've played with all three of your quarterbacks.
Yes.
And your third string still won a game for you. And he's a freshman.
True freshman.
Just started.
This is his first career start ever the ACC championship.
That was his
game.
First game he's played.
No, he's gotten some reps in some other game in garbage time. When we're ganging up on a group of five team or something.
Yeah, when you're just beating them out.
And it's like 60 to nothing. Yeah. It's like, well, okay, put in the third string. Put in the cheerleaders and the water boy.
Yeah,
you know, he's gotten some reps in games that didn't matter because they were already won. He's never started a game. And then you ask this 18, 19-year-old kid to go start his first collegiate start in the ACC championship game.
Yep. Not expecting him probably to do as well as he did.
And he didn't do great, but he did enough. And this is what bothers me, because the things that should be focused on, the things that should be praised, they're praised for other teams, but they're not being praised for Florida State. It's like, okay, they always want to focus on the fact that Brock Glenn, our third string quarterback, he only threw for 55 yards. 55 yards. In a whole 60 minutes of football, he threw for 55 yards. And you're like, okay, he did not look great. He did not look ready for the moment.
But
they guess
still
what?
Won.
Our running game, our ground game, which has not been great all year,
Yeah,
he's stepped up and won that game. Defense held a team that averaged 33 points a game to 2 field goals. That is incredible. Yeah. And you want to say, well, the offense didn't look good. They didn't pass the eye test.
But it was a hard-fought game.
Correct. Great teams find a way to win.
Yeah.
And that's all Florida State has done this entire season. And you can say, well, line them up right now, tomorrow, line them up. Alabama would dog walk Florida State.
Probably.
But that's not the situation. They're going to say line them up tomorrow. Would you put money on the game? No. If we line them up tomorrow, Alabama probably wins. Sure.
But I bet money that they would still find a way to score.
Sure.
They'd still find ways to score because
that's dog walking our team. If you think that any team would dog walk Florida State, you have not watched Florida State play.
No.
Nobody is blowing out our defense. Nobody. Our defense is going to keep every game competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say we got put in at the number 4 spot and we had to play Michigan in the semifinal. Am I saying that we would have beaten Michigan? No. But they certainly wasn't going to blow us out either.
No.
And I think it's important that I reiterate, I'm not saying that Florida State would have won the championship. But they earned the right to try.
Yeah.
They earned the right to go play.
Or at least give a better reason why you didn't pick.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
so
give us a really decent reason.
So the reason that was given is that we didn't look like the same team without our starting quarterback.
Who cares?
Okay, I'll stipulate that. No, we didn't look like the same team.
You know why? Because it's not exactly the same team.
Because,
you've got other people playing.
Tate Rodemaker is not a carbon copy of Jordan Travis. Brock Glenn is not a carbon copy of Jordan Travis.
But the facts are the team still
stepped up
and listened to what that quarterback is wanting.
And won.
Yeah.
That's the part that does not get enough attention.
Every quarterback is going to be different.
Correct.
You can't sit there and grab Peyton Manning, stick him in, and say...
To a different offensive scheme and...
Yeah, say you're going to fill in for the Raiders.
And have it look exactly the same. It's not going to.
He's
going to
play differently than any other quarterback.
And
same for UF, FSU, Miami.
And Brock Glenn was not going to be our starting quarterback had we made the playoffs. That was going to be Tate.
Yeah.
Did Tate look amazing against Florida? Not really. But again, Tate got some snaps during garbage time too earlier in the season. That was Tate's first start this season. And it was asked of him to go into the swamp, which ask anybody. I don't care.
Is one of the biggest games
and it's one of the most hostile environments in the country to win at, regardless of Florida's record.
Because it's the same when we go there.
You think that Florida, okay, yeah, they were also playing for bowl eligibility, but you think that Florida wasn't looking at it going, well, we know that if Florida State loses any of their games, they're completely out of the playoff. You don't think that Florida was licking their chops thinking that they could be the black mark on our record that kept us out of the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. We would have loved to be.
Of course.
Not even to just keep you out of playoffs. Like, just the fact that we could sit there and say, well, we beat you in our home.
I dare say that was more of a motivating factor than becoming bowl eligible.
Yeah. We just want to win that battle in our own.
You want to be the reason why we couldn't go to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why,
like,
I know that?
It's one of the biggest games of the entire season every year.
Yes.
People
and you
want to
know why I know that? Because if the roles were reversed, that would be exactly what Florida State was playing for.
Yeah.
Was to keep you out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, records be damned, that was going to be a contested game.
Mm-hmm.
That was not going to be a walk in the park. Same thing with Miami. Miami wasn't great. I mean, they're bowl eligible this year, but they weren't great. But you don't think that we got the best that Miami could give us? Because we certainly did. And they couldn't pull it off. I mean, it was a 7-point game. It was close, but we still won.
Yeah.
And my point here is everyone wants to talk about how Florida State's offense has looked the last 2 weeks. You know, you didn't look great. You didn't look stellar with Tate. You certainly didn't look great offensively with Brock.
Mm-hmm.
But Tate would have had a month. He would have had 15 practices. He would have had a month to prepare for whoever we were going against in the semifinals. I believe in Norvell to come up with a scheme, a winning scheme. Yeah. The dude knows how to coach. These are, if you look at, like, I would actually have to pull it up. I'm not sure about Florida, but let me bring up the Clemson game, for example. Clemson didn't do great this year. I would say if you asked any Clemson fan, they would say that Clemson kind of underachieved this year. But Clemson still has a much higher blue chip ratio than Florida State does. And when Florida State played them in week 4, in Death Valley, by the way, Clemson already had a loss in conference play because they played Duke for their season opener and they looked like hot garbage. They outgained Duke, but they lost. You don't want to know why? Because they had like four or five turnovers.
Yeah.
You can't win a game like that.
Just can't hang on to the ball.
Yeah. They would get down to the red zone and turn the ball over. And Duke would capitalize. Kudos to Duke. But, so, when we played Clemson in week 4, they already had one conference loss. Clemson knew. Not only were they playing for their conference championship hopes, because they knew if they had dropped two, like, the way that Florida State was ranked, the way that we were projected to go through the rest of the season, if we could get past Clemson, there really wasn't many other teams within the ACC that had much hopes of upsetting us, other than maybe Miami. Maybe Miami. Because Miami had a lot of dudes on the roster. They had a lot of, like, talented kids on that roster. It's just, I don't think Cristobal's a great coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I don't think he's a great coach. He's certainly not a great in-game coach. Which the best that could be said of Napier, too. That's just my opinion. But if we could make it past Clemson knew they had to basically be perfect the rest of the way to have any hopes. Because there were other ACC teams like North Carolina, which earlier in the season was cooking with gas. Mm-hmm. North Carolina for a long stretch, looked like they were going to be a shoe-in to be the second team to participate in the ACC championship game. Like, Clemson knew losing that game to us in week 4 was basically going to completely eliminate their chances of being in the conference championship. So you don't think that Clemson was playing their asses off in that game? You don't think we got the best version of Clemson? I assure you that we did.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's easy to win in Death Valley? Go ask Notre Dame. They lost. Now, I say all of that to say this. Like, because the argument's being thrown around right now, like, oh, you know, the committee did FSU a favor because they saved y'all from going and getting absolutely skull drug by Michigan in the semifinals. You don't know that. You don't know that.
Yeah,
knows that.
They could have been on their worst game ever.
What does it matter? And maybe they play their brand of football, but Florida State just plays out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's good, and it's not the committee's job to predict what is going to happen.
No,
but that's what they did. They said this was the committee's official response or reason as to why they left out Florida State. We just didn't think that Florida State could win without Jordan Travis. That is not your job.
Your job's not to decide if you think I could win a game
or not. I didn't realize that the committee was full of clairvoyance that just knew exactly what was going to happen weeks in advance, and they saw the future and said, oh man, yeah, Florida State gets absolutely stomped by Michigan in the first round. We're going to spare them that.
Like, if that's the case, then all of it might as well just be scripted.
Well, and that's my overall point. Why play? If wins aren't the most important metric,
if you're just going to choose who goes and who, like, stays behind, but
yeah. Why play the regular season if wins and losses don't really matter much? Like, to me, everyone wants to talk about the ACC as a conference.
Join a real conference.
I can promise you this. Louisville was a better team than what Michigan had to play in Iowa for their conference championship. I promise you that they were better than what Texas played for their conference championship. And while I'm at it, this is the same ACC conference that these SEC homers want to talk about. The SEC went 4-6 against the ACC this year. They're below 500 in against the ACC this year. No one wants to talk about that. And you could say, well, two of those were Vanderbilt going out and losing. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Your argument is join a real conference. This is a Power 5 conference.
Yeah,
and every season is its own entity. Every season is its own. You have to look at each season, because I'll stipulate the SEC has been the powerhouse, but not the entire conference. The SEC puffs their chests out and they want to, you know, they want to beat their chests and say, we're the best. Blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. You're only, you're the only best conference because you got Alabama and Georgia. The rest of you. The rest of you, what have you done? What, honestly, what have you done?
Yeah, when you think of like your biggest teams.
And I've never understood being a conference homer. I've never understood that. You understand that, like, well, yeah, well, my team sucks, but Georgia brought it home for the SEC again. You realize Georgia recruits against you, right? You realize that Alabama recruits against you. You realize that the success of those teams means the non-success of your team, right? I would never root for Clemson to bring it home for the ACC, Clemson. No, I would never root for that. That's a conference rival. Yeah. I don't understand.
They're pulling our guys that could be winning for us, and it's like...
Yeah. You realize that the more success that Clemson has means likely... more recruits are going to want to go there instead of my team. And it's the same way in the SEC. Now, it's a little bit different in the NIL era. It's basically free agency. It's like kids don't bleed garnet and gold anymore. Kids don't bleed orange and blue anymore.
Yeah, no, now kids just go wherever they get
enough. Yeah, the biggest paycheck.
A scholarship and a paycheck.
The biggest paycheck. And that's where we are now with the NIL era and the transfer portal era and all this. You don't get brand loyalty anymore from kids.
Mm-mm.
And
you're not telling me anything. We got kids that go to our school that play for other like areas. They're in other counties.
Yeah. But they'll come to play
football for y'all. Because they zone out a county but still play
sports
for another team and go to our school.
Yeah.
Which pisses so many people off, because it'd be like somebody playing for FSU, but they go to school at UF. Like, they do their classes.
They're taking, like, online classes at UF.
You would think that everybody on the team would be pretty pissed off. Like, you not support our school at all. And it's the same with other teams.
And
they,
I know...
They don't commit to, like, that anymore.
And I get, like, there are other factors, too. Like, availability of immediate playing time and stuff like that. Like...
Yeah, but sometimes you got to be on the team and not play.
Yeah.
You're still part of the team.
It takes a lot of maturity to be a backup.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of character to sit behind the guy that has earned the starting spot. And, like, what happened to competition? Like, and I'm talking friendly competition. Like, you're all on the same team. These are your brothers. You know, you won the starting spot this week. But, like, any quality coach is saying... no spot is guaranteed.
Yeah.
If when half the season's over, I start seeing so-and-so is playing better than my starting so-and-so, I'll swap them up right now. Like, any quality coach is going to say...
You play on Saturday or Sunday, and then that Monday through Friday could be the defining moment for that second or third string. Could literally be given their all and playing way better than that first string and get their chance to play.
No spot is guaranteed. Or shouldn't be.
No.
In a quality program.
Like, for your defense, if you've got big boys on there and little man over here is still
has got 10 times the heart that you do.
He's got a little bit more strength than you, and he's given everything he's got, and you're over here like, well, I'm tired. And he's like, "No, I'm tired too, but I still hit people.
But I'll be damned if I'm not on playing with the ones."
Yeah, you might get past me. Yeah, but I'm still going to give it my all. They'd be like, "Okay, you know what? We'll put him in, see what he can do."
Yeah, because that kind of mentality can't be taught.
No,
that kind of work ethic can't be taught.
Which,
you know, you've got these guys that have all the physical attributes in the world. That doesn't necessarily translate to being a dominant player on the field, because there's a mental aspect to the game too. And so I would say that Florida State, if nothing else, has proven this season that, you know, you always hear about like the team's identity, like what's the identity of this team? Are they like a rushing attack team? Are they really good? Do they have a really good like pro style quarterback and he just dominates through the air? The identity of this Florida State team in 2023.
Just an overall great team.
They're a team that is going to find a way to win.
Yep.
This is a team, and I'll be honest. You cut me and Garnet and Gold's going to come out, but I'm also not delusional either. There were dark days in our program's history over the last 6-7 years. We have been dog water. I mean, we have been bad. We were the laughing stock of the college football world. Like, you want to talk about a team taking its lumps? We took our lumps. And this was a team that not that long ago started to show sparks of like, oh, okay, this is what the team could be, but they wouldn't play four quarters. They'd spark for two quarters and then quit.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to finish. This year, this Florida State team, go look at any of our games. Our defense would stifle you in the second half. Once they had you dialed in and figured out, they were going to rope-a-dope you. They literally Rocky Balboa'd people, because we would rotate guys in. We had this scheme where we would always rotate guys in. So your offense is getting winded, but we're rotating guys in that have had a couple of series to sit out and catch their breath. They come in fresh as a daisy. So all of a sudden they come in fresh, and your guys standing there with their hands on their hips, struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
And our guys are like, all right, water. We would rope-a-dope people. And that's a valid strategy. Not only is it a valid strategy, but it's also a way for multiple guys to get reps. So that, because inevitably, after the season's done, guys hit the transfer portal, guys go to the league, or at least declare for the draft. And you want to at least have some guys that still have experience to kind of replenish the ranks there.
Yeah.
So this is a team, if nothing else, that has figured out ways to win. That's their identity this year. It certainly wasn't always pretty. I mean, there were plenty of games that we almost lost, but we didn't. And what bothers me is that the wins and losses, which should be the primary criteria when evaluating what teams deserve to go, you know, and again, I've seen the, well, Liberty's 13-0. Oh, well, you think that blah, 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 blah. What about UCF back in 2017? They got a little bit. Okay, I hate that I even have to make this disclaimer. We're talking about Power 5 conferences, okay? Liberty's not in a Power 5 conference. UCF was not in a Power 5 conference in 2017. They are now, but they weren't back in 2017. That does matter. Okay? Now that I got that out of the way. This team, although it hasn't always looked pretty, have won all of their games. And what the committee did is they said that doesn't matter, but it wasn't the criteria that mattered the most. The criteria that they chose to matter the most was probably the most subjective criteria, the eye test. They just didn't look like they were a team that was capable of going in and winning the national championship. They didn't look like it. They didn't pass the eye test.
And I hate to tell them, one of the teams has to lose.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
well, and that was another... Dude, that was another...
If that's the criteria, is we don't think they're going to win against this team. Well, why pick another team? Because at somewhere along the line, you got to say that team's probably not going to win either.
There's going to be a team that's favored to win and a team that's favored to lose. I saw this stupid argument circulating that, well, yeah, the Vegas odds, you know, just hypothetically, the Vegas odds on Florida State would have been underdogs to the other three, you know, Michigan, Washington, and Texas. Florida State was going to be the underdog to all three of those teams. Well, assuming that they would have put Texas at 3 and Florida State at 4, which still wouldn't necessarily agree with, because one of these teams is undefeated and one of them is not. But let's assume that it went Michigan, Washington, Texas, Florida State. Florida State was number 4. Well, if what I understand of rankings is to be believed, the number 4 team would have been an underdog to number 3, number 2, number 1.
Yeah.
That's how rankings work.
And if I win, I take that spot.
But guess what?
And now you're the underdog.
But guess what? Since the eye test is so star-spangled awesome, since the eye test is so infallible, Oregon was supposed to beat Washington in the Pac-12 Conference Championship. They were supposed to. They didn't. Georgia was supposed to beat Alabama, but they didn't. Florida State was only a 1-point favorite against Louisville. Beat them by 10.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pretty. It was a low-scoring game.
But it was still a win.
And we won in a greater fashion than what we were projected to. And then there's these other teams that were projected to win that didn't.
Yeah.
If anything, that is more criteria. That is more evidence that you don't know. You may think you know, but you do not know how a game is going to play out. You just don't. And to say, well, I know that Florida State would have gotten just absolutely mollywopped in the first round of the playoff. No, you don't.
I've been playing this game for 75 years. I know exactly how it's going to be played. No, you don't. Same way it was played 75 years ago.
The only thing you can say for certain about team sports is that they're unpredictable.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can say for certain.
Because you can go 12-0 your entire season
and lose in the conference champ, like what Georgia did.
Yeah.
I still maintain, I think Georgia's one of the four best teams. You could also be
like Fort White last year. We lost literally every single game that we played pretty much the season. I think we won maybe one. And then we won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like we did like one or two playoff games that we won and we wrecked them. So you don't know how it's going to go. You can sit there and be like, shut down the whole season and be like, well, we've lost every game. And then you play that one game that you just blow them out of the water and you're like, okay. And then everybody's like, well, that was we weren't expecting that.
Super unexpected. That's the game.
Of course it was unexpected.
That's the game. It's unexpected. And you can't say that you know definitively what would have happened. And you can't say that it's a playoff. It's not a playoff. And I think the reason why a lot of us have been really pissed off about this is because it was always marketed as a playoff. And we've always known that there's been some SEC bias. We've always known that there's been some Saint Saban bias. Like, you know, if there's a way where we can kiss Nick Saban's ass, we're going to do that. We've always kind of known that.
If we can get him as far up in the ranking as possible, then we're definitely going to do it. Because he's probably writing checks every day.
Here's what happened, okay? Here's how Florida State got left out. There was no timeline, for those that believe in, you know, multiple timelines, multiverse kind of theory.
Multiples.
There was no timeline where the SEC got left out of the playoffs. Now, I've heard, well, there's 5 Power 5 conferences and there's only 4 playoff spots. You know, this was bound to happen. Sure, it was bound to happen in a year where each of the Power 5 conferences produced an undefeated conference champion. But that wasn't this year. The SEC didn't produce a single undefeated team. And I'm so sorry.
And yet they're in the big leagues.
And I'm so sorry But this was the year that the SEC gets left out. That's just how it is. So if this year produced where, you know, the SEC had an undefeated champion, Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, everybody, each conference had an undefeated champion, and then Florida State got left out. Okay, it still sucks. I'm still pissed, but I'm not this pissed. I'm not this upset about it. Because we want to talk about strength of schedule, as if that's not a subjective metric too, because it is. You don't think that SEC teams get inflated in their AP rankings because they're SEC teams? Genuinely, do you think that doesn't happen? I can promise you that it does. And there's no other conference of the Power Five conferences. There is no other conference than maybe the Big Ten, but that's a big maybe. There's no other conference that gets what's called the benefit of a quote-unquote quality loss. What is that? What's a quality loss?
Like they lost, but it was,
it's a loss.
It was some pretty quality good stuff.
But Alabama gets the benefit of a quality loss to Texas.
So it's like you played your hardest. You lost, but you gave it your all.
Look me in my face and tell me that if Florida State had lost any of their games this season, that they would have even remotely been in the conversation. Look me in my face and tell me. Doesn't matter. We could let's say we lost to LSU. LSU, definitely our best win on the season. And LSU ended up losing two more games after losing to us. Again, that's not our fault.
Yeah.
It's not our fault that Clemson underperformed this year. It's not our fault that Florida sucked this year.
Yeah.
It's not our fault that Miami underperformed this year. Like, none of that has anything to do... Like, where they end up in the rankings at the end of the season, it's like, well, they were... But LSU was ranked fifth in the preseason. And the same people that want to talk about, well, you ain't played nobody, who have you played, blah, 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 are the same people that are like, yeah, but when we lost to Texas, who now is ranked, you know, third in the...
Yeah.
It either matters or it doesn't. There's a lot of people who are paid a lot of money to put rankings next to teams even before a single down of football has been played.
Yeah.
LSU was ranked fifth for a reason.
They just auto-rank them, like, based off of how they've done
based on the
season.
Roster.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of dudes on that roster, and they were ranked fifth for a reason, and we beat them. Now, we find out later on that, you know, if LSU could have had a defense that complemented their offense, they would be in the playoffs. I guarantee you they would be in the playoffs right now, because they concluded the season with the number one ranked offense in the country. You know which team, out of all of the games that LSU played this season, you know which team held them to the fewest points?
FSU.
Alabama was a close second. We held them to 24 points. And you could even argue that 7 of those came in garbage time, because they did. 7 of those 24 points came against our, like, second and third string defense, because there was only like 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left to play, and the game was one. I mean, the game was over. We already had 40. We had hung 45 on them.
Yeah.
So you could argue that 7 of those points, you could really, I mean, okay, fine. I'll give it to them. 24. It really should have been 17. We really should have beaten them 45-17. But okay, I'll spot them that extra 7 points. Alabama held them to 28. But when you're talking about, well, who is Florida State played? Okay, all you can really do, the only objective way to do it, is to look at common opponents. Well, Alabama and Florida State only have one common opponent, LSU. FSU beat them by a wider margin than Alabama did.
Yeah.
That's the only objective metric that you could use outside of wins and losses. So when you want to talk about strength of schedule, okay, fine. That can be a metric to determine teams with the same win-loss record.
Yeah, like a percentage of...
Yeah. You can look, like, if Florida State had lost a game and we were 12-1, like Alabama. Then you can look at strength of schedule. Then we have a better strength of record because we didn't lose a game. We're number three in the country with strength of record. Mm-hmm. Alabama's fifth. Sorry. So if we had the same record, okay, fine. Then you can go, well, Alabama had the stronger strength of schedule. We're going to edge them in over Florida State. Fine. But the metric that should matter the most is your wins and losses.
Yeah.
Florida State had a zero in the loss column.
Like,
there's only two other teams in the country of the Power Five schools that can say that. Michigan, and however you want to feel about Michigan and their cheating scandal, but Michigan and Washington. And honestly, I'm fine with Washington being ranked number two. They beat Oregon twice. You know how hard it is to beat a good team twice in the same season? That is not easy. So kudos to Washington. They deserve it too. But only three teams in the Power Five conferences produced an undefeated team. Or three conferences produced an undefeated team. Alabama can't say that. Texas can't say that. Texas lost to Oklahoma, who went to go lose another game.
Yeah.
Or two other games, excuse me. They lost two games after beating Texas.
It's almost like matches the way that our government basically runs things. We got a bunch of old people sitting around that are like, well, I'm ranking it based off of this. And then another person's got another opinion, and they can't settle on something. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, they won every single game, but they weren't better than this team because they played a harder... It's like,
but how can you possibly say that?
They played a harder match against this team. Well, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't. I mean,
that game is going to be completely different from the game that I would have played against
them. Would you say that Alabama is a better football team this season than Oklahoma? Oklahoma, keep in mind, Oklahoma has two losses. Would you say Alabama is a better football team than Oklahoma
for this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've won.
So, Texas, who beat Alabama in week two, they lost to Oklahoma.
So I would say Oklahoma's the better team.
If you want to say that Texas is better than Alabama because of the head-to-head, but Alabama beating Georgia should put both of those two one-loss teams over Florida State, but then Texas, who beat Alabama, I mean, this is the transitive property here.
Yeah.
Texas lost to Oklahoma. Does that mean that Oklahoma is better than Alabama?
Yeah, does that mean they should rank above them? The point is, I have more points on the board.
Correct.
I won the game.
Correct. No matter how it looks.
Then I'm the better wrestler. I'm the better fighter. I'm the better skateboarder. Like,
yeah.
If I got more points than you, I was better. Now, that don't mean I'm going to be better in the next round.
So, sure. There's all these stats that people could pull out of their butt and say, well, yeah, you know, Alabama was
but
better
in the bubble. In that one game, I was the better person.
Yes.
So
the point
it'd be
of
the
competition
same, yeah,
is to win.
Yep. So it should come down to the four that had the highest amount of points or the highest wins.
Wins.
Yeah, highest wins.
With the fewest losses.
Yep. And then you...
And then everybody else.
Yeah, and then you can determine. Then you can determine who's going to play who. One and can play against four, two against three, whatever.
But there was never going to be a world where that committee was going to leave out the beloved SEC.
Mm-hmm.
There was never going to be a world.
Because that's where they get more money.
And that's what it comes down to. Everybody, you are so disingenuous if you think that it was for any other reason than money. And I'm sorry, you can hate Florida State. That's fine. You can hate Florida State and still stand up and say what was done to Florida State was wrong. Because it was.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, unequivocally wrong. It was wrong what happened to Florida State. And I don't care if the way that it comes out of your mouth is, man, I can't stand the Seminoles, but it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can promise you this. If this had happened to Florida, I'd be saying That exact same sentence, mm-hmm. just the inverse. I can't stand Florida, but it was wrong what happened to them. If it happened to Miami, if it happened to Clemson, if it happened to whoever, it doesn't matter. Any Power 5 school, if this had happened to them, regardless of my feelings about that team, I would be saying it was wrong what happened, because regardless of your team affiliation, you can still call out wrong when it's wrong. And it's wrong. It was wrong to leave Florida State out, period.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop.
It'd be like a boxing match.
Everything else
and
is...
And I got way more points than you. And at the end, they raise the other guy's hand and say, well, he's the winner.
Because...
Just because he threw better punches.
He scored more, but he looked better.
Yeah. He didn't look like he was getting tired like you did, so he won.
Yeah.
Okay, then why did I just spend all that time playing the game?
Yeah.
If I gave my all, had way better scores.
And you know, it's interesting.
Any game.
It's interesting, too, because the disingenuous people, the disingenuous fans of college football that have come out of the woodwork here lately to laugh, make fun of Florida State for being left out and all this. One, I would say, imagine how you would feel. Imagine how the players of the team that you pull for would feel if it had happened to them. Would it be funny then? Would it be, oh, ho, ho, karma? Would it be funny then to have something like this happen to the team that you pull for? Of course not. But there's no, I mean, these are stupid. These are people with unevolved brains that don't even know the meaning of the word empathy.
Yeah.
They don't. And they look at it and they're like, well, I hate the Seminoles, so ha ha, y'all got left out. I hope and pray it never happens to you. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope and pray that it never happens to you. Because regardless of how me as a fan feels about it, I saw the video.
Yeah.
Of them boys finding out that they were left out for no reason. No reason. Those young men earned the right to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what happened.
Trust me, my cousin was sitting there.
Wish Cam was here.
Yeah.
I would love to hear his perspective, being that he is in and around those teams and those guys. I would love to hear what he had to say about how, you know, because obviously you want to talk about an insider's point of view. He's got the inside scoop. He was sitting in that room with those boys when they found out that they were left out inexplicably.
Mm-hmm. And he's every bit part of that team.
Of course he is.
He's not invited to go play.
Yeah.
He spent every
waking... He knows better than most.
Every waking minute. Like, he's told us. He's told me. If they want to go throw the ball, okay.
It doesn't matter what time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It might be 2 in the morning.
Hey, we're going for a run. I need you to come with me. All right.
He's with them.
Like,
and you want to talk about somebody that has a extremely unique perspective on this whole thing.
And like, then to have to see...
He got to see
that.
These guys week in and week out, battling injury. You know, all this kind of adversity. And every team goes through. I'm not just saying that Florida State was the only team that had to face adversity. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying Cam had a very unique perspective here, seeing what these guys went through, to then just be an afterthought.
Yeah,
sorry guys, you just... and it's interesting because the people that are piling on and making fun of Florida State for missing out and saying they did y'all a favor because you are not one of the four best teams, one, I keep coming back to this, you can't possibly know that. You can say the eye test and this and that. All of that is completely subjective. It is subjective until the game is played. The game is not played on paper. It's played on the grass or the AstroTurf. It's played on the field. You cannot say... All you can say is if your team plays my team and your team wins, then you can say my team was better than your team because we won. Okay. You have factual evidence to support that claim.
Yeah.
You cannot say Florida State would have gone in there and gotten their butts handed to them. You can't know that. Nobody can know that. And that's not even the argument. The argument was they earned the right to see how far they could go.
Yeah.
That's the argument. And I will also point out that the committee didn't say that we were left out because we weren't one of the four best teams. They said we were left out because we looked to be a different team without Jordan Travis. They left us out because of an injury.
Yeah.
That was the reason that the committee gave.
Which in their, I guess the way they were looking at it, they're like, well, if Jordan doesn't play, we're not going to get the revenue that we want.
I could argue this is a Cinderella story if there ever was one.
Yeah, that what point if Florida State came 13 back and against, 0, they had to play with their second string. Now they're playing with their third string.
I mean, it happened with Ohio State. He's going to have to play
in one of the biggest games there is.
It happened with Ohio State a couple of years ago with their third string quarterback. They ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
With a third string quarterback. And again, I'm not saying that's what would have happened because I'm not so arrogant to pretend like I know what the future would hold. These people that say that, oh, Florida State would have lost or Florida, they would have done this and that.
You're absolutely right. They probably would have.
But you don't know.
You
do not know. There is not a team in this country that was going to absolutely blow out our team. Not with our defense. Now, would we have won? Can't say. Can't say for sure. I can promise you it would have been competitive. With our defense this year, it would have been competitive at the very least.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that we would have won the whole thing. But only arrogance, only the epitome of ego, would someone sit here and look you in the face and say, I know exactly what would have happened to Florida State. No, you don't.
Yep.
Get out of my face.
That's just a cover for like...
No, you don't know what would have happened. We're the richest
of riches, and we're just going to pay money to see these two teams play instead of the team that's the best team overall.
Yeah. I thought this was a team sport. I was under the misconception that this was a team sport.
Not a quarterback.
And I'm sorry.
The quarterback can only do what he does because he has teammates that he can trust to be in their spot.
Correct. If we didn't have good receivers, it wouldn't matter how good Jordan Travis was at passing the ball. Wouldn't matter.
He could throw the ball the entire football field.
And it could be dropped every time.
Every single time.
If we didn't have good receivers. I mean, there are other ways to win football games. That's the point. Yeah, the quarterback is obviously the most important position, especially on offense. I'm not saying that it's not. But it's not the only position. Our running game stepped up against, if I have this stat correct, I think Louisville had like the sixth or seventh best run defense in the country. And we won that game with our running game, which had been subpar all season.
Mm-hmm.
That running back room stepped up. Our defense stepped up to pick up the slack because they knew that the offense wasn't going to be as prolific as it would have been with JT back there.
Yeah. And if you look at it, the mentality of it is they were a better running team that game.
Who's to say
that they couldn't?
That we couldn't have kept doing that? Well, Louisville is the team that they just lost to Kentucky the week before. Oh, you mean in rivalry weekend? You mean in the same weekend where Alabama needed a prayer to beat a horribly bad Auburn team? Don't think I didn't watch that game. Don't think, I mean, if Florida State's only going to be judged on its last two games because, you know, you just didn't look great with Tate, you didn't look great with Brock, you don't have criteria if it's not applied equally. You don't have rules if they're not applied equally to every team. You cannot say, well, we're only looking at the last two games for Florida State, but then not say, well, then we're only looking at the last two games for Alabama. Because, yeah, they beat Georgia, but the week before they looked real bad.
Yeah.
They won the game, but I'm not the one sitting here saying that the eye test is the end-all be-all. I'm taking their logic. Well, Florida State just doesn't pass the eye test. Well, okay. Since that's the metric that you want to place the most weight on, Alabama certainly doesn't pass the eye test.
Yeah.
They struggled to beat Arkansas. A horrible Arkansas, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
They only beat Arkansas by 3. They needed a prayer to beat Auburn. They struggled earlier in the season against South Florida, USF. Now, they won by more than 3 points. It was 17-3 or something like that. But, like, they struggled with USF. And you want to tell me, well, you know, Florida State struggled against Boston College. Yeah. That was our flu game, by the way. Anyone want to talk about that? We had guys on the sideline with literally IVs.
IV drips like, to them.
So that they could keep playing because they were sick as dogs. That was our flu game. But I'm not one to make excuses. But you sit here and you force me because you're applying a standard unequally to different teams. The eye test doesn't matter with Alabama because the Georgia win trumps everything else.
Yep.
You know, we don't need the eye test for Alabama because they beat Georgia. Throw everything else out the window. They beat Georgia. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't do that, though. You don't have criteria if it's not applied equally across the spectrum to all teams. You just don't.
And the whole comment that they don't look like the same team.
But they still won.
It's because of they changed their play style for every game.
Yeah. Because to me, that's impressive.
That is impressive. So I would mark that as like probably 50% of my ideals for what the ranking would
be. I just don't get it. To where you and I are sitting here going, actually, that's not a detriment. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive that they were able to find ways to win.
Yeah. You get that first.
But it's looked at
like, if you don't step up within the way I looked at it, like I said, I don't watch a lot of football, but if they usually don't step up within the first and a half quarters,
yeah,
they're not going to like change throughout the rest of the game. But like within that time frame would be the time, like if I'm getting my butt kicked, I use that to advantage to learn, just like FSU did in many of the games.
There were several games this season where we were losing at halftime. You just
take over because you figured it out.
We figured out what's going to work.
Yeah.
And it sucks too, because as somebody that has ridden out all the, you know, all the bad years, all the down years of this team in recent memory, it was not long ago that this team may show sparks here and there of like what they could be, but they wouldn't play four quarters of football. This is the first Florida State team in a hot minute where coming back out of halftime, I'm telling people, hold on, don't panic yet.
Yeah.
This team plays all four quarters.
Yeah, and we don't just...
It's not just like, well, guys, we're down at half. Might as well just pack it up and go home.
Yeah.
Just get it over with quick. Try to have a few, you know, not a whole lot of penalties, and just let the beating continue so we can get out of here and go get dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't this team. This team played 60 minutes of football. And to have everything that was accomplished by this team just completely thrown out the window, completely overlooked. Because now they're saying, well, I guess, you know, go beat Georgia. Go beat Georgia, and then the collective college football world can go, huh, well, I guess the committee did get it wrong. What is that? Like a consolation prize? You think that's supposed to make the guys on this team, the guys in this organization, feel like, oh, that moral victory, yeah, we just proved that they got it wrong, guys. We still didn't get a chance to play for a national championship, but man, we at least proved them wrong.
Yeah.
You think that's going to make, especially the seniors, especially the guys that knew that this was the last season to playing in Garnet and Gold, you think it's going to make those guys feel any better? Of course not. Of course not. Moral victories? That's what losers look for. Losers look for moral victories.
Yeah.
No. And now, it's like, I truly don't know. And this is with Georgia, too. I don't know who's going to be playing in that game. because anybody that had any kind of draft stock is probably going to sit the game out. They're not going to risk injury when they're about to go to the combine and possibly go into the draft and be drafted into the pros. Why would you risk injury?
No.
Now, if you had fought and you had clawed and you had lost like one game during the season, but like you still got invited to the Orange Bowl, fine. That's one thing. But this Orange Bowl, and you could argue this for Georgia too, even though they do have a loss. It was only by 3 points to Alabama. You know, you could argue too that Georgia, this is the consolation bowl. This is the both of you kind of got screwed out of the playoff bowl.
So we're going to let you play against each other.
If I'm Georgia, if I'm a Georgia player,
all of you did really great. But these two, even though they lost more than you two did, they did better.
We can't explain how.
Don't confuse us with facts. We're going to let them go to the really big game that everybody cares about.
Don't confuse us with facts.
Okay? And then
I don't have to explain myself.
And then we're going to take the other two that were the best teams, really, and put them against each other and say, well, it's not the big one that everybody cares about.
I mean,
but you get a blue ribbon. You didn't get the trophy,
participation bowl.
This
is what the participation trophy bowl is. What this is, and I.
Thanks for playing football season and great show.
Yeah. And listen, I can be completely honest and objective. Georgia's twos and threes are going to be much better than Florida State's twos and threes. So, whether we win or lose this bowl game, that's not going to be people are saying, yeah, if you go out there and get absolutely a mud hole stomped in you by Georgia, that's just going to prove that the committee got it right, that y'all deserve to be left out. That didn't prove anything. These aren't the same teams that would have been playing in the playoff. We wouldn't have had starters sitting out in the playoffs because they would have been playing for it all.
Yeah.
They would have been playing for the big trophy. So this game means nothing to either team. And it's really a lose-lose for Florida State, because even if we win, Georgia had a bunch of opt-outs. Georgia, you know, felt slighted, and they just weren't the same team. Yeah, they just didn't care. But if Florida State loses, see, y'all didn't belong.
They weren't the same team.
Y'all didn't belong. See. I can hear it now. It is just, it's a lose-lose. It really is a lose-lose. And people want to say that's a cop-out. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not a cop-out. We would not have had all these people, all these players electing to opt out or sit out or declare for the draft. Johnny Wilson's already declared for the draft. Keon Coleman, I'm still scouring social media to see. He put up what was perceived as like a goodbye or like a farewell. Thank you, Florida State fan base. We tried our best. We did all that we could. It read like a goodbye post. But I haven't seen if he's declared for the draft yet or not. But he probably will. There goes our two best receivers. Trey Benson, don't know if he'll play. O-line, D-line, we've already had guys jumping in the portal. You know, the portal, I'm kind of confused as to why the portal opens up before bowl season concludes. That's kind of weird to me. Like, you're a part of this team. If you made a bowl, you're part of this team until the bowl is done. Then open up the portal and then, I don't really understand why the portal opens up the way that it does, but or when it does. But, yeah, I needed to speak my piece on this because there are a few times when things happen, especially in sports, when really, at the end of the day, it's not that serious, bro. You're right. It shouldn't be that serious. It should not be that serious. And if everybody could get their heads out of their asses and collectively say what happened to Florida State was wrong, then this wouldn't be a big thing. I mean, it would still be a thing, like a precedent had been set by the committee leaving out an undefeated Power 5 conference champion. That precedent was still going to be set either way. But everybody could rally behind and say, no, what happened was wrong. This should never happen again. You're right. It wouldn't be a big thing. It's just that people come out with their horrible takes.
Yeah, no, FSU deserved to be left out.
But if their child had been playing on that team,
oh, I can assure you,
they would have been like,
I can assure you that they'd be whistling a different tune.
Yeah, I root for this team, but you know my son plays for FSU, so yeah, they didn't deserve what they got, and they'd be like, but you, what are you doing?
I mean, respect. If nothing else, respect the game.
Yeah.
If wins and losses aren't the ultimate metric, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Because no, like I said earlier, no other conference gets the benefit of a quote unquote quality loss like the SEC does. If Florida State had lost one game, I don't care who it was to, LSU. If we had lost our conference championship, doesn't matter. It could have been one of the best teams we had played on our schedule this year, which would have been LSU. We could have lost that first game and then won every other one. We would have never been considered for the playoffs, with or without Jordan Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't get the benefit of quality losses unless you're an SEC team. Or more specifically, unless you're Georgia, Alabama. You just don't get the benefit of it. And so if wins and losses don't matter, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why do we even play? If it's going to be an invitational at the end of everything, if what you have accomplished over those 13 weeks doesn't mean crap at the end of it all, why it's all just ceremonial. Why are we even playing the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just let from here to eternity, let it be Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama. Just let that be the four teams. Because those are the darlings of college football. Ohio State is always overrated. Michigan, most of the time, is overrated. Alabama, always overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia.
Alabama.
I mean, because, yeah, Nick Saban's the greatest to ever do it. Sure, I can say that. And it's hard for me to say that because Bobby Bowden is my guy. Bobby Bowden is a large part of the reason why I'm so emphatically a Florida State fan because of what an amazing man he was, what a player's coach he was. But if you look at it just purely by statistics, sure, Nick Saban's the greatest to ever do it. Probably won't ever be topped if you want the truth of the matter. But those are the four darlings of college football right now. Texas is maybe a close fifth. But if it's all going to come down to subjective criteria that nobody can accurately define, that's not applied equally to all teams, then just scrap. Just have four college football teams.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia. Just let it be those four. And every year, the college football season will just be 2 weeks long, and it'll be the semifinals. And then the finals. That's it. I mean, that's what we're down to now.
Yeah.
That's what it's been boiled down to. So, I just had to speak my piece on that. You know, I don't like to take the... there are a few things in life that are absolute. And I don't like to speak in absolutes very often. But this is one of those situations where I can say, if you disagree with me, that's fine, but you're wrong. I mean, honestly, you're wrong. You can disagree with me. It's your right to disagree with me on this, but you're absolutely 1,000% incorrect. There was a right and a wrong to this, and Florida State was wronged big time by the committee. And if you support the committee's decision, then you are complicit. You are wrong as well. And I'll just leave it at that.
You're wasting your money.
I don't know what that means, but damn it, I agree.
Yep.
I can tell you this, I'm not watching the playoffs. Couldn't care less.
Yeah,
Could not care less. And this is coming from somebody that watched it in years past, even when my team's not represented.
And I guarantee some point in that game, commentator will make a comment, imagine if FSU was here.
No, they would do. I mean, could you imagine the score if FSU was in here? It'd probably be 850 million to six.
It's true though.
Like
that's the kind of
they would have picked one of the two teams and said, "Oh, they're just not playing the same as they've been all season." Imagine if FSU was here, they'd be knocking their socks off. They're just tearing them up. It's like, then why didn't you give them the chance to go?
Ifs and buts. You know, what?
Then everybody would say you made the decision, but you know.
And you heard it here first, folks. I'm pulling for Washington. I hope Washington wins it all. They're the only undefeated team now in the Final Four that didn't cheat to be there. I'm looking at you, Michigan. They're the only team that didn't cheat to be there. And I hope they go all the way. I really do. Go Huskies. Seriously.
Go Huskies.
Go Huskies. I hope you beat the breaks off Texas in the first round. And whoever, God, I hope that Alabama doesn't beat Michigan, because I can just hear it now. Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roll right on out the door. Get the hell away from
roll
me.
Roll Tide, boy.
I hope Michigan beats the dog water out of Alabama. I hope they stomp a mud puddle in Alabama. And then I hope they lose to Washington in the finals. But I can promise you I won't be watching.
Watch that play out exactly that way.
Well, then
if that's the case, we play some bets.
Then my opinion will be more highly regarded than anybody else's when it comes to college football, and I will no longer be contested on the matter. When I say something, it will be gospel, and you can tithe to me and bend the knee.
Hashtag Tim knows best.
Hashtag kiss my butt. My big old butt. Kiss it. You start on the left side and work your way to the right side. You can kiss all of my butt.
All of it?
Every all of it. Every bit of all of it. But it's a shame that we haven't recorded an episode in so long. And
it
then,
has been a while.
And then, life just happens. I hope we're still relevant, guys. I hope those of you who have listened to our past episodes...
go back and listen to more. will be more coming.
Yes. Yes, we're going to be back to... back to cranking out some episodes. Part of it too is coming up with content, which you wouldn't think would be too hard since we're a variety podcast.
Yeah,
but you get me talking about something like this, I could go I can make six episodes on this topic. But but yeah, we'll come up with some good content moving forward.
Give us an idea.
Kyle, what is your plans for Christmas?
I know I play the Grinch next week.
You're a mean one, Mr.
Hello,
Grinch.
Hello, everybody. It's a nice day here in the radio
You're
station.
As cuddly as a cactus.
And as charming as an ear.
Mr. Grinch.
I wouldn't touch you if I was a greasy rabbit.
Okay, but yeah, you're playing the Grinch for Fort White?
For the Sheriff's Department.
Oh. How'd you get elected to do that?
My mother.
Deputy
school
Ray?
Mother.
Deputy Ray?
Yes.
Okay. School mama?
School mama. She called
me
and said,
voluntold you, or did she actually?
Yeah, kind of voluntold.
Oh, okay.
The text read, need Grinch this date, this time. Thank you.
Well, thanks
so
for asking.
You can't say no to that.
Thanks for asking, I guess.
Yeah, because I've played it now for 4 years.
So, but when is that?
It's next Friday,
the 22nd.
Yes,
the 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're not like going out of town or anything for Christmas?
No, I'll be playing the Grinch at their elementary school for the kiddos to come get the presents. Max.
So you'll be in town then for Christmas is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be here. We'll go over to her grandparents probably, or I think with Kat and them.
Mm-hmm.
we'll go over here for Christmas Eve. And then my mom and them's for Christmas.
Uncle Keith's?
Yeah, right here at my grandparents.
Oh, yeah, at Nana Cooey's.
Yeah. Okay. And then we'll go to mom and dad's for Christmas Day.
Okay. Because I'm trying to think, while we're just kind of brainstorming here on air, I kind of figured we'll let the people listening know that they can expect a couple more episodes to be coming out. Especially since you're going to have... Now, you don't have next week off.
No, after next Friday.
Yeah. So after the 22nd, you'll be off until January,
I want to say 11th.
Okay. 11th?
We get like two whole weeks.
Because since Christmas is on a Monday, that means that New Year's is also going to be on a Monday.
Might be like January 8th or 9th or something.
So it might be the Monday after New Year's. So you'll get the, what, 3 weeks?
Yes.
3 weeks off? Okay. Yeah. Well, we can definitely work in some more episodes then.
Yes.
I'll make time between work and everything to do some more episodes. But we appreciate you guys if you managed to make it to the end of me soapboxing for I don't even know how long.
Soapbox.
But I just, it's been eating me alive. Eating me alive.
Ah.
And love you guys. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back to our goofy selves probably in a week or so. Maybe sooner.
Maybe sooner.
Maybe this coming weekend we crank out another one.
We just do multiple episodes.
Heck yeah. All right.
Well.
Jinx.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
I'll go get one of your own sodas out of your fridge and I'll give it to you.
Pick your favorite vegetable. 1, 2, 3.
Carrots. You didn't even say anything.
I don't eat vegetables.
You proposed the question and didn't even answer it.
I know.
It.
I can't say that. Hey, do eat something. Okay.
All right.
Favorite fruit. 1, 2, 3.
Nectarines.
Banana. What?
Nectarines.
Okay.
Don't tell me you don't know what a nectarine is. Bruh.
I will say it then.
Bruh.
Next time on GRH.
What is a nectarine? Next time on GRH Podcast.